to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous parasol-laden Jill Serkin.
Not just any parasol.
Is it not?
It's a Paul Babra parasol.
It is. It's very smart, isn't it?
It's got lovely elephants and sequins.
Your mum's got one of those.
She has, and she's often, Ruth, who's 92 this year,
Blimey.
Is often to be seen trolling down the Tankerton, where do I live? Tankerton High Street.
Yeah, that's where you live, yeah.
Avec le parasol.
You get to a certain age and your memory goes.
Well, I always get it mixed up with Tenterton, where you live. You see, the T in the T is just too much for me at my age.
It's, yeah,
and
exactly.
It's a lovely parasol.
It
and,
is.
Of course, we are having fantastic weather, aren't we?
Are we?
But you're back.
I am back.
Yeah.
That's well spotted, Jules.
Yeah, you're back. Well, somebody was asking me, one of my fans, who you don't know, one week.
A fan that I don't know. Yeah. Right, okay, got it. Yeah.
I'm not going to mention his name, but he listened one week and said, how do you put up with him? And then this week he said, is he back?
Uh-huh.
You know, but I won't mention who he is. You don't know him anyway. Lovely, lovely man. And
no, he's not.
With integrity.
No, he's not.
And taste. But you had a lovely time, may we?
I did, yeah.
You see, now you should be playing a little bit of French accordion in the background.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I know that you had some little frog's legs. I saw you cooking those, may we?
No, I didn't.
You said you were having frog's legs.
Like snails.
Oh, yeah, they're the same. Same thing. You know,
I don't like frog's legs.
Okay.
For a while, I have an escargot.
Well, le frog leg is actually, I think, just tastes like, just like chicken.
It does, yeah.
But why don't you like it? It's just the thought.
Well, because there's not a lot on it.
It's the thought of it.
Kentucky Fried Frog's Legs don't really work for me.
You'd have to be. So you had l'escargot.
I did.
And did you cook them, or were they ready cooked?
We actually cooked them ourselves.
Very
yeah,
nice.
We had a barbecue one night, and Amanda bought me some snails, and we
you
cooked
them. You barbecued them?
No, I didn't barbecue them.
I was going to say.
You know, we cooked them in the oven. Funnily enough, we ate out a few times. In France, in a lot of the towns and the villages at the weekend, in fact, during the week sometimes as well, they have these communal events where you all go and sit in the town square, and there's loads of
lovely.
There's loads of what do you call street
stalls.
Food? Street food vendors, and you just pick your food and eat it. And we went to one street market in Duras, and there was a snail stall there.
Really?
Right. Now, when I have snails, I normally have 6 as a starter, or if I'm feeling particularly greedy, 12. Yeah.
Mm.
Here, they had a bowl, and they just got a ladle and just ladled. It must have been 50 snails into a bowl.
Oh, I mean, no.
You know, like when you have mussels.
Yeah, I was going to say mools.
Yeah, mool and frit. These were snails and frit.
It's just
a massive bowl of snails. And even I do love snails. I thought Amanda looked at me and I went, no, I couldn't manage that many.
A bit much. Yeah. I mean, that's getting a bit close to what's the African worm that we both I had
Melpani
to
worm.
Yeah, I can never remember the name, but that's getting a bit close to that Melpani worm.
Oh,
that,
really. No. I like snails. I adore snails.
But do you
snails.
Like snails, or do you just like the garlic that they're cooked
no,
in?
No, I like the snails. The snail doesn't really taste of anything. It is mostly the hot garlic.
Yeah.
But Melpani worms were disgusting. I only ate the two as a bet.
But isn't a snail just... But that, see, on the Scoff and Quaff show, I had a lady, do you remember years ago at Romney Marsh, I had a lady who is in Canterbury, and I've forgotten her name. It's very rude of me. Paul Babra might know her. He's in the studio. I'll introduce the guest in a minute. But she had a snail farm. And
I remember, yeah, Diane.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Diane.
Yeah, it was.
You can't just make up a name.
That was Diane.
It was. Anyway, I went to her snail farm in and she's just in a normal little house in Canterbury, and there was a little whiff in one of her side rooms, a little whiff of a snail.
Right.
And she had them all
what
in
snails smell like.
Yeah, they like that, the kind of smelly. There was a little whiff, and it was that sort of you know, like maybe a sort of a damp smell, I'd say.
Right, okay.
I was very polite, you know, I didn't mention.
Oh, and that's probably where she's farming them, because she was
that's what she
growing
was.
Them. Yeah, no, well, you'll have damp soil for snails, won't you?
I don't know, they were in little things, little incubator things, crawling about.
Little farm fields.
So what I mean is, they're not just your common or gardens now, they're special snails.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, otherwise, where would you stop? You'd have slugs and all sorts of things.
You can't eat slugs.
What happens?
They're poisonous.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
For humans?
Yeah.
Well, it depends if somebody's put slug poison down, doesn't it?
No.
Because if you've put beer down to trap your slugs, that would be fine.
Would it?
Yeah.
Right,
for
okay.
Me, pour moi.
You suck the beer out of it.
Pour moi.
And throw it away. Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to ask you, how's your French coming along?
It's okay.
Mais oui.
Yeah, mange-tu.
Oui.
Yeah.
C'est bon.
Mange-tu.
Oui.
On songe et dans l'arbre.
L'arbre, mm-hmm. Oui. And when you go into la boulangerie, do you say bonjour, madame?
Ah, so I have one of those sticks, please, love.
Don't you say une stick?
No.
Une baguette?
Silly bash.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. There's a couple of questions I want to ask you.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Yeah. No, I did miss you last week. Yes. It's
apart from your fan, he didn't miss me.
No, he didn't. He was. I don't think he's tuning in today. Cause
no, he wouldn't, because I'm on. Yeah, no,
exactly. I told him how I put up with you.
Yeah.
But what I was going to ask was, who might our sponsor be? We haven't got one. Not till September.
Not till September.
When is September?
It's the month after August and the month before October, normally.
When does it start? Is it next
week?
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Can't remember.
Anyway, I just think the months are flying by. It's ridiculous because I'm thinking about Dark Knights and I've got lots of questions.
Dark Knights, I've seen that film.
Yeah, was it good?
Yeah, it was all right. Heath Ledger, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I must tell, because we've got two very exciting guests. So we've got the lovely Paul Babra, who hasn't been on the show. C'est formidable.
I know. Last time he was on the show and we ate what he's brought in here. Yeah. And I've got a photograph of us scoffing it.
We look a lot younger, did you notice?
We look quite a lot younger.
My hair was dark, not blonde.
And I had hair. And we were quite a bit slimmer then.
Despite the eating.
Yeah, yeah. So it could be bad. Could be bad.
But what makes me sad is my hair was my normal colour, and now I've had to go blonde because I'm, you know, women of a certain age have to go blonde because of the grey. It camouflages the grey.
Oh.
And that made me sad. I looked and thought,
that's so sad.
I was a brunette.
Never mind.
And my new husband, you know, married a brunette. Now he's got a blonde wife and he doesn't really like blonde wives.
Yeah.
No, he might put me out to pasture, I think.
Yeah, quite possibly.
So we have the lovely Paul Brabber, and he's come in. I had to help him in.
I know, with the food.
Yeah, he had cake.
He's a good man with food.
Beer. Mm. He said, whenever we're hungry or a bit peckish, just get Paul Brabber on.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
He's a good man. He quite often messages me and goes, do you want some food?
Yeah.
I go, yeah. That'll be nice.
Never have you said no. Yeah. In fact. And then, of course, we've got the lovely Mark Telford, who's not on holiday.
He's back from holiday.
Yeah, he's back. Looking all brown and bushy-tailed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's here to talk about, of course, accounts. We won't mention mine. But I've got lots of questions to ask him. And I will say, Mark, you'll be very impressed with me, because you know we've got a little indoor pool.
Yes.
And you know that all the bills are going up, and we've got three, what they're called, you know, things that heat them.
All right. Heaters.
You know what I mean? No. What they're called, plumbing things.
I don't know. What do you heat your pool with? I don't know what you
gas things.
Oh, you've got gas boilers.
Boilers, yeah. That's the word.
Yeah.
I haven't had coffee yet. So we've got three boilers. So
Why have you got three boilers?
Just a big house. It's three floors. So
yeah,
I don't know.
They don't all heat the pool, though, do they?
No.
You've got one for the pool, one for the house.
One for a bit of the house and one for the ground floor of the house. I didn't build the house with three. It's
weird.
Just Tinks Ansley who built the house. Weird. Isn't it? It is weird.
You need to sort that out. That's going to cost you a fortune.
Exactly. So my accountant would be very impressed with me, because I said to the new husband, we're having a heat wave. I'm going to turn the pool heater off. So we turned off the one of the things.
Mm.
What are they called?
Boiler.
See, the old boiler. And our bill, and I've been turning off also because the kids have left home, and we were on a routine. New husband doesn't notice this. I'm like a Rottweiler with this. I'm a hawk. So I noticed that the hot water was coming on automatically, and there's only two of us, and we don't have baths in the evening. Just the kids have gone. You know, you don't bath bottle and bed and all that as we used to. So I turn it off now for the evening. So we only have the hot water on in the morning for our little shower. And we've turned off the pool boiler, and our bills have gone down from 400 to 200
a month.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, it's gone green.
Very good.
Are you impressed? Yeah.
Do you know what my last bill was? And this is dual. This was gas and electricity for.
I know it went up.
For March, April, and May.
Mm.
It was £1,200.
It's crazy. Oh. It's crazy.
They offered to fix my rest of the year. They said
this is where you're supposed to ask now.
No.
Because I know the story.
Yeah, we'll give you a fixed rate for the rest of the year. 12 grand.
Crazy. Well, on my Twitter, there was a lady who's got a three-bedroom bungalow.
I saw that. 14 grand they wanted from
14
her.
14 grand they wanted for a three-bedroom bungalow. And she's worked out now it's cheaper to go to Portugal for the rest of the winter.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Zanzibar. So well, Zanzibar well, is
so
where
the interesting thing about this is the whole work-from-home experiment is going to come to a grinding halt, isn't it, during the winter?
Yeah.
Because no one's going to work at home and pay their gas and electric bill. They're all going to go to the office and let their employer pay it.
Or they'll all go to Fruitworks in Canterbury.
Yeah, but the problem is there's no cap on commercial energy, so there's thousands of firms who are going to go bust.
No, you've just ruined the question I was going to ask Mark Telford when he's on.
Oh, go
on. I was going to ask him about that.
Well, yeah.
Just forget that. Listen, I forget he said
rewind.
That.
Pretend I didn't say that.
Pretend he didn't. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask Paul Babra something as well. Do you know the snail lady, Paul Babra?
Yes, I vaguely remember.
Because I think she was on Produced in Kent.
Yes, I do vaguely remember. Yeah. And going back to refresh my memories, she had come at your Twitter Twitter sessions as well.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Was that Diane?
No, it wasn't Diane.
No, there's another.
It's annoying me, and I can see her face very clearly. But look, I'm at an age where I can't remember the word for boiler. You know, there's no hope, really. Mm. I'm just looking forward to, actually, the break when we can eat the cake and things.
I know, you keep looking at it. Yeah. She keeps looking at the food and the beer.
Well, I had a very frugal breakfast. I had a bit of old green smoothie that was left.
Of course you
and
did.
Then I ate your boiled egg because I knew that you'd just...
I wouldn't eat it.
You wouldn't have eaten it, so I ate that. Yeah, I thought it was his birthday. Oh, I've got you a present as well. I forgot to...
Can I guess what it is?
Yeah.
Is it tea? Present.
No, it's not tea.
Blimey.
I'm not telling you. There's your card.
Thank you.
And there's your lovely present.
Thank you. Can I open it?
Yes, you can, because your birthday was yesterday.
Talk amongst yourselves. It is tea. See, I told you it would be tea.
Yeah, but if
tea.
I told you...
I knew it would be tea. And, hand-picked licorice.
He loves licorice.
I do love licorice, yeah. Oh, wow, look at that.
Don't tell Amanda about that. Cause,
oh, thank you, that's fantastic.
It's a secret stash.
Right.
But tell me about the tea. You've got to read out what it is, what flavour.
It's lemon and ginger.
There you are.
It's ethical, healthy, natural lemon and ginger tea, pyramid tea infusers.
Yes.
It's Ceylon tea. Pure Ceylon tea packed in Sri Lanka.
And I bought that from Mohammed, my lovely homeopath, who is, of course, Sri Lankan. And I see him every 3 weeks, so I bought that from his stash. Happy birthday to you.
I did a series of... I used to work as a leadership trainer, and I did a series of lectures at the University of Colombo in Sri Lanka many years ago. And while I was staying in Sri Lanka, I... had to visit the charwala to get tea, and it's the most gorgeous stuff I've ever tasted.
Charwala?
No, the Sri Lankan tea straight off the fields.
Because, Paul, you might know, they grow it in the mountains, don't they? It's got that very pure taste.
Yeah,
but the charwala word, what you used, Paul...
Is tea boy.
Is the tea boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I knew that.
And who famously was a charwala in India? Who is now the Prime Minister.
Really?
Narendra Modi was well known as a charwala.
Was a tea boy.
He was
because
a tea
it's
boy.
Very strange. So would that be, is that Punjabi as well?
No.
Or dialect?
Chai means tea. India, and the wala means
boy.
A person.
Oh, not boy.
Right. So
because Arabic is boy, is walad.
Ah.
So it's quite similar. So I think it means boy.
But obviously, wala to wala is how the word has transported from one country to another country,
sure,
to generation, to different caste and religion and so on. So you know.
I have to say hello to Wayne Cunnington, who's another one of my fans, and he's a lovely... he was a fire... He used to go into big companies and tell them about their fire risk and tell them what to do and how to escape and things like that. He's unable to work now because he's had AstraZeneca, so he's one of my AstraZeneca damaged posse. Mm. But he's listening in, and he says...
Wayne.
It's Wayne Cunnington, and he says, I'm here, and you are both hilarious.
I'm all right with him, am I?
Yeah, he likes you.
Nice one, Wayne. Thank you, mate.
He's your number one fan, apparently.
Oh. Well, let's not go too far.
But he's unable to work, so hello to you, and I hope you get better. And let me just say, I'm having quite good reactions with, I'm seeing a Chinese herbalist.
Does your husband
I'm on week three. I think he's glad to get me out of the house now. A Chinese herbalist in Canterbury.
Cool. We've had a tweet from the lovely Steph, Michael Park Surveyors. Looking forward to tuning into the Business Bunker radio show today with Vanilla Webb and Jules Sirkin for some stonking good jingles and lively banter. We missed you, Paul. I got a fan as well.
Yeah.
So thank you. That's the lovely folks, Michael Park Surveyors. All commercial property stuff based in Medway, covering the southeast of England. Give them a follow on Twitter. MPSL is their Twitter handle.
And a big hello. We've had a few. We've got the executive midlife coach.
Adele.
We're past that, aren't we, midlife?
Oh, I'm well past midlife.
Yeah, especially you. She's helping business women be smart, sassy and stronger through menopause using my menopause resilience system. So perhaps she could help me with my boiler brain. That would help. Mm-hmm. Accredited menopause coach. So you can find her, Adele, on the Executive Midlife Coach, which is her website, executivemidlife.coach.
You can listen to her radio show on this very channel as well on a Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Fabulous. Why not? Good.
Absolutely. Chips and Dinks, the lovely Bev and Tony, back on air, the birthday boy, that will be me then. Vanilla Web with Jules Sirkin on the Business Bunker, letting them know what's going on in your business world, and let's continue to support each other through these very worrying times. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. It's all about bringing our community together and helping each other as much as we can.
Yeah.
Because the government and the politicians aren't doing much to help us.
Well, you know, I was going through it the other day as I sat there with a little organic wine, as you do, Mark, at the end of the day.
Was it breakfast?
I'd been working very hard and
it was breakfast
brunch, and working very hard, and I've got to talk to Mark later on, you know, because when I was on GB News, what's a girl to do on the telly? You have your hair done. It's the first thing you have to ask your wife. And of course it's not allowed on the books for hair. But I have put it down because I think TV...
Are you talking expenses?
TV, yeah. I think it had to be. I could not go in with this hair.
Right.
I had to have a... And you did say that I'd scrubbed up well when I was on GB News.
Yeah, you did. I did. You know, and they have professionals there that make everything look good.
No, I did my own. I did my own makeup.
Did you?
Yeah.
Didn't they have a professional makeup?
No, I went... Yeah, they did the first time. She didn't have to do anything. She said, you look fab.
Right.
I used to work for Barry M.
Okay, hold on. So you didn't do anything, but you claimed it on expenses anyway.
No,
I don't think you ought to announce that.
I had my hair blow dried.
HMRC might be listening.
I had my hair blow dried, supporting a local business as
did
well,
you?
Mark.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see if that wheedles through. For a woman to turn up with raggy hair on telly,
it's not on.
And especially at my age, you have to try that much harder, you know, because they have a lot of babes on the telly at the moment, especially GB News.
Well, HMRC are bound to go for that, isn't it? You know, they go, obviously you're an ugly old bag. So, we fully understand why you've expensed it. Yeah.
Look, there's a whole thing about women in media that, you know, look at Sue Cook. She was talking about it. I don't know how old she is, 66?
Yeah, yeah.
And they got rid of her and quite a few others. and then you'll get some old bloke on, won't you, with a very charming lady. Have you noticed that in media?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? Some old bloke with a very charming lady.
I know one whom I always say it as my inspirational guru.
Oh, really?
I won't name him.
Yeah, really?
Okay. But he's a birthday boy today.
Well, I had great fun last week because I could talk about him on air.
With a fan.
Yeah.
They were talking about me.
I managed to get a few snippets in that I don't think he's noticed because his battery ran out.
Oh, dear.
My battery went flat halfway through.
Yeah, it was a relief because of the second half, I then really let rip.
Well, I was going to tell you, outside of our Jeep, we had a patio area with a roof. Which is where the hot tub was and picnic area and stuff like that. Very nice. So even when it was raining, it was fine because it was warm. So I was sat out there with a glass of Lipton's iced tea.
That's not very French, is it?
Sans sucre.
Oui.
I'll tell you about that in a minute. It's driving me potty, that is. I like Lipton's iced tea. I love peach iced tea.
But it's not French.
No, I don't care if it's French or not. I love peach iced tea, but it's incredibly high in calories.
Okay.
Well, in France, they had zero calories.
Okay.
I'm like, yes, I've been waiting for that for ages. So I bought loads. And then I thought, when I come back, I'll buy some. But you can't buy it in England.
Really?
You can't buy the zero stuff. No, I can't get it anywhere. Tried Amazon and everything.
Why
anyway,
did you bring a stash back with you?
I did bring a stash back with me.
You've drunk it now.
But I've drunk it, yeah. Anyway, I had a nice can of Lipton's iced tea, and I was sat there with my phone listening to you.
Yeah.
And Amanda was sat opposite me, and I'm going, no, Jules, don't press that. And she went, I'm going for a bike ride. We will be exactly 2 hours.
Isn't that a... I'm trying to remember that. What's a velicula or something, a bike in French? I've forgotten the name.
Bicyclette.
Bicyclette, but there's also another like velour or something.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Wayne Cunnington's still listening in, and he says...
still?
Yeah, he says...
I admire your fortitude, Wayne.
This is one for Mark Telford, my accountant, who says, you do look fab too, Jules. I'm your number one fan.
And
on GB News, your hair did look fab. And it was worth everything.
Yeah.
He's told me to send my CV into GB News, you see.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if I'm aggressive enough, because they are quite punchy there. And I'm more of a sweet person.
Maybe now that we've got to work until we're 104, maybe we need to start a petition with HMRC, because I need my teeth.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't do sales without teeth, can I?
No.
So I should be able to claim for teeth.
Well, I think I'm certainly thinking about this renting my house out and going to Zanzibar all winter.
Zanzibar?
Yeah, and you could come too, and we could just do the show from there.
Why Zanzibar?
Because it's there's a whole thing about Zanzibar. So Beck Sal on the Twitter, Beck_Sal, she's a journalist, and she was helping me on the vaccine damage. She knows an awful lot about it, and lots of professors and scientists and people. And she went to Zanzibar for Christmas last year and then got a PR job. And they've got this, you'll love this, Paul, they've got a health village, all sustainable.
Have you been to Zanzibar?
No, but I'm planning to go at Christmas. Except then my kids, I say to the kids, I'm going for, you know, the Christmas period.
Is it actually called Zanzibar these days?
I call it Zanzibar.
I'm sure you do. I can't remember.
Famous for spices, Paul.
Yeah. You know what?
Paul Babra.
I have been to Zanzibar.
Have you?
I have visited Zanzibar. And the word Zanzibar, you need to know how it originated, because it's a combination of three different words. Tanzania, Kenya, and Zanzibar. So the combined of three, Tanzania is Zanzibar.
Wow.
So they have taken the word from three different countries nearby. And I've been there. I tell you, it really touched my heart when we visited in the center of the town. They have the slave sort of... square.
Where the spice slaves were, was it?
Yes. Spice, they were altogether a different trade, but actual black slaves who were coming, and you will still find those very confined small places, and they have...
Right. Where they were sitting.
Oh, it was terrible. On the other positive, they go and do a very nice fresh fish. You go to the fish market.
There you are. That's what I'll be doing Christmas Day.
Beautiful.
You're going there for Christmas?
I was planning to, but then the three kids, I said, I'll pay your flight. We're all going out to Zanzibar. I've done Christmas for 36 hours, Josh. 36 years I've done the turkey and all the trimmings. It costs a fortune.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'll pay for all your flights, come out to Zanzibar, but they all want to come home for Christmas. So I don't know. It's still in a bone of contention.
Well, you go and leave them at home.
Well, yeah.
Right, I've got some cheesy tunage, because then we're going to talk.
Do you know
to Paul.
It's been ages? Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's been 24 minutes of listening to you talk about your fan
Zanzibar,
your hair, and your expenses. Yeah.
Yeah, but Wayne Cunnington, he's not my only fan.
My name ain't up in lights, but I'm a hero in this
bar. Oh, I know his voice.
And I play it's the Warren.
Is it?
It's the Warren Brothers.
Oh, I don't know him. Who's the Warren Brothers?
It's him.
I don't know them.
Well, it's the Warren Brothers.
I've never heard of them.
And they're singing, He Sells a Lot of Beer.
Ah, Chaco. Is he on first, by the way, Paul Babbitt?
He is, yeah.
And then Mark Telford after the news.
And then Mark Telford after the news.
I like what you did there.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard this song.
He sells a lot of news.
That's myth me, this.
He just sells a lot of beer.
He does, Paul Babbitt.
Yeah.
So I like his beer.
You need to listen to
it's
this
spicy,
thing.
Spicy.
You need to listen to
it's
this thing, because you've never heard for it.
You can fade down.
Wanna hear by wells, I play the blues. church and pray that after some of my Saturday nights, things just don't turn out that way. I thank even the good Lord, he understands I'm at that point in my career where I don't sell a lot of records, but I sure sell a lot of beer.
Independent financial advisors can help you invest, organize your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. That was Warren Brothers. He sells beer.
I've never heard that song.
Hold on.
They are, mm-hmm. Even.
What?
I've never heard of the Warren Brothers.
You have now?
No, I have, yes. Now, Wayne has got back his signal and he says, I heard my name mentioned, burst of music, then lost. And he says, and you're back. He says, are you all scoffing now? Just had my latte and sandwich. Not as nice as yours, I'm sure. Chucko, chucko. So he's listening in.
Yeah, well.
I'm sending him a picture.
Are you?
Of samosas. Because we're about to tuck into samosas, Paul.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. We are about to start scoffing. But obviously, we want to talk to Paul before we fill our mouths. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show after we tried to work this out. It must be 7 years, 8 years since you were last on. I don't know how we've survived this long without getting you back, Paul. But it's a pleasure to welcome back onto the show, Paul Babra. Paul is from Carrara Foods.
Can you hear me crunching?
I can. You're eating poppadoms, aren't you?
Oh, they're lovely. They're delicious.
Yeah. See, the trouble with this is we're going to try and do radio while we're all eating crunchy poppadoms and samosas and stuff, aren't we?
I know.
And that isn't going to work. And I'm already in a dilemma because I'm speaking and I'm looking at those and I'm thinking, I want to eat one of those right now.
The news, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to have to. But it's a pleasure to have Paul back here. Paul is, how do you describe Paul? He's an institution.
Oh dear.
He's an institution around Canterbury, isn't he?
He's an exciting institution, isn't he?
No, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. He's one of the best chefs I know. He makes the most delicious food. But not only is he a great chef, he's incredibly innovative as well. And as well as his Carrara Foods outlet, he's also developed a thing called Chucko Chucko Beer. And we're going to talk to him about both of those. Paul, welcome back onto the show.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. And I would say a little bit in my French. Bonjour, Monsieur Paul. Yeah. And bonjour, Madame Jules.
You see, he's very cosmopolitan, isn't he?
He's very
I thought that when he was talking about Tanzania. and
Zanzibar.
I thought, what a cosmopolitan chap he is, because you can sort of talk to him on any subject. I've got a little bit of poppadom in my throat now.
Yeah, I know, that's the problem, isn't it? And I'm crunching away.
It is a hazard, isn't it?
It's a wonderful hazard. And the food is delicious.
Well, this is just to tickle your taste buds.
Absolutely. You would not believe how much food and drink we've got in this studio. There's more food and drink than there are people, and there's four of us.
Well, it is your birthday, so it's like a party.
Well, it was yesterday. It was my birthday yesterday.
Well, it's your birthday week, isn't
it? So, Paul, kick off by telling us, first of all, about Carrara Foods. So give us an overview of what it is you do, how you do it, why you do it, where you do it.
Well, Paul, as you have said, that I've come to your last studio for almost 7 years or so. But personally to you, Paul, and Jules, of course, we have known for almost 25 years because I've been in country for last 28 years. Having lived in various different countries around the world, from India to Africa to New York to Toronto, and then, you know.
I love the way Paul Andrews, I have to say Paul Andrews because we've got Paul Barbara, Paul Andrews here. So he's coughing away, then he just goes and carries on eating another bit.
Exactly, I know.
It's the only way to clear it.
Yeah. I just want to talk about the poppadom.
Well, I need to tell you this. Hold on, because I don't know if you know this.
You can interrupt if you want.
I'm going to interrupt you. I don't know if you know this about Paul. See, Paul is very cosmopolitan.
I said that.
He gets around the world. He's lived all over the world. He's got relatives in Canada.
Yeah.
He's quite often in France and Belgium. He's lived in New York.
Yes.
Do you know what he did when he first came here?
Was he a chai waller?
No, he was not a chai waller. He worked for border control. Wow. And the reason he worked for border control is he knew everyone.
Can we have you back? Because it's like 1,600 just come in on my beach.
He'd lived so many countries, he knew everyone. So when he was in Dover as a border control officer, he'd go, hello, how are you? Come in.
Yes, that was my past job, or one of the jobs as a civil servant, I would say, for Her Majesty the Queen. And the one thing I would like to reveal now, that, you know, when Her Majesty visited Canterbury Cathedral for the Maundy service, that was way back in 2007, I guess, my photo and her photo was being taken by one photographer and was slapped on the main Daily Telegraph, I think, and it was made a big news among the civil servant. How on earth Paul, who had just come and lived here, managed to get a photo of the same size as Her Majesty? I said, well, I've got connections, you know.
Of course, we know Paul, and we know how he does that. We know how he photobombs.
No, but it's been really pleasure, and sincerely great pleasure to be with you and chat about my little stories or my creativities, and your question about the Carrara food. And as you may have known, that I have been working or creating, doing business in the name of Canterbury Curry Club, or in my own name, Paul Barbara. But that was going back, and also teaching in the public school, grammar schools, doing my curry workshops. So that word food actually took me quite different places in Canterbury to Kent within, and of course to few places in France as well. That's why I've been still trying to learn and polish my French.
Right. So let's cut to the chase with this and the food. I've just eaten a samosa, so I'm ready now. I'm all geared up.
You are energized.
I'm energized. That was delicious. I ate it so quickly, I don't know what was in it.
Did Rani make these, or did you?
No, that's the top secret. Rani just touched it at the end, so she adds all the magic of love.
For those that don't know, Rani is Paul's wife, and like me, it was her birthday yesterday. So happy birthday for yesterday, Rani.
Yes. Let's just talk through this before we get to the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Because our lovely resident accountant, Mr. Telford, is tucking in as well. But the flavour is absolutely delicious, and the pastry, you know, often you get it, it's a bit soggy, and this is absolutely crisp and light, isn't it?
This precisely what we call or trademark our food, made with a lot of love, passion, and creativity as well. And basically is to how you put together the spices in the right proportion manner. Otherwise, you know, they can be very over spicy, soggy. So there's a lot of skills behind
it. Let me just put you straight there, Paul. It is not possible to be over-spicy. That could be famous last words, though, couldn't it?
My mainline China chili that I bought.
China chili, which nearly killed me, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you haven't tasted the samosas with the mint and tamarind or the hot...
Paul is waving a jar of one of his sauces, Carrara sauce, and it's called Dynamite Kiss of Fire.
Yeah, would you like to try some?
I'm going to try some, and I might regret this.
Go on. You can open the new bottle, and that will be a gift, birthday gift from Rani or from us to you. And then you try the mint and tamarind as well.
Yeah.
And I've got the two different chutneys, aubergine or desi chutney, which I have also created.
What's the other one? Aubergine and...
One is the aubergine, and one is desi. Desi, the word desi is again Indian, which means country style mixed vegetable. So.
But when you say Indian, as a real pleb,
yeah.
Which regions are you talking about? Because there's so many different regions and so many different dialects. And
interestingly, India, you put a stamp on anything Indian, but then differentiate would be only from which country or the region and the type of spices and the cuisine you're adding up to. So mostly this I put India is mostly from the northern part of India, where the food is simply not with respect to the other cuisine and the states around India, but it is more funky, chunky and vibrant and colorful and spicy.
Funky chunky.
I like funky chunky.
Yeah, that's
I'm going with funky chunky.
I want the t-shirt now that says funky chunky.
Funky chunky.
Knowing Paul, he'll get some now.
It could be a band, couldn't it? Paul Babber and the funky chunky.
Yeah. I'll go for it. Yeah. If you sponsor. Yeah, look, how about putting a band, Carrara band or funky chunky band, some new sponsors?
I have to say, I can't remember, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago? Paul invited me to a Diwali event.
I bet you do.
Do you remember?
I do.
He invited me to a Diwali event. He said, come along, just say a few words and then join in with the celebrations.
In Diwali? He wanted you to say a few words in local dialect.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I introduced the light.
Yes.
Apparently. Anyway, on the day, and I was more than happy to do that, on the day, I felt really ill during the day. But I was in Canterbury anyway, and it was at Canterbury, and I rang Paul, and I said, look, I'm going to come, but I might not stay very long, because I'm feeling a bit under the weather, and he said, no, we'll come along. He said, I'll sort you out. Yeah, okay. So I went along, and I said, I'm just not feeling that good, and he went, I'll give you some curry, that'll sort you out. So he gave me some really hot stuff, which it did... I'm not going to go into the radio what it did, but it did move some stuff.
And I'm having my samosa.
Sorry, yeah.
I mean, really.
Anyway, but as the evening wore on, I felt worse and worse and worse. And I said to him, Paul, I'm going to have to go soon, mate. I just really don't feel good. And he went, just 5 minutes. We need you to just say these few words and all the rest of it. So I hung on and hung on and hung on. And then they started playing this Bhangra music, right?
Bhangra music.
Yes, him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you dance?
He danced.
And he made me dance. He made me dance.
I tell you, his moves were so Carrara and so spicy and so chunky funky, I tell you, Paul was.
Because he is quite a famous dancer.
I know.
Yeah,
he's won awards for Jive.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah,
when I was 16.
And, of course, you've seen the Zumba outfit. He wears the pink tutu. You've seen him in that. He's quite famous.
But that is Paul, you know, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
Very Bollywood.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about tamarind, because it's used in this. This looks delicious.
No.
So you've got mint and tamarind sauce, which is tantalizing. And these are your own sauces that you're making now.
Absolutely right.
So this is huge. You're actually bottling your own sauces. And the other one is Dynamite Kiss of Fire, which I don't have. You can have, because my lips will puff up and my gums will puff up.
Will I?
Yeah, now.
I'm hoping mine do too.
Yeah, a bit Botox. But I'm going to try the mint tamarind, if I may.
You know, your mint and tamarind, basically what everyone here in UK takes like a brown sauce.
Of course, the tamarind.
It's the main ingredient is tamarind, but not many people that they know about the word tamarind.
Oh, it smells nice.
It grows like a root vegetable, and after a while, when the pulp get mature and nice and and funky chunky. You drain it off and you just mix it up with some magic ingredients, and that's what you're going to smell and smell taste that. As well.
You're going to need some Golgappa with that, aren't
do
you?
Do we have a pani pura?
Pani
can you throw one over?
Yeah.
Have you washed your hands, Paul Andrews?
Yeah, so I licked them.
Have you smelled it, Mark?
Yeah.
Come on, talk me through.
Very Jules. Similar to brown sauce, and sauce is one of my favourites.
Yeah, me too.
Jules. But the brown sauce, you put a little bit of... nice. Well caught.
You need a dog.
Yeah.
No, see, my dog would eat that. So what you didn't know was that they're quite fragile. So Paul Andrews is now...
I did know.
I caught it very well. And that's got a hole in it, dear Liza. Yeah.
Do you remember how we did it last time?
We poured it into the hole.
No, you want to pour that. You better not pour that dynamite.
Mark has now hogged the tamarind sauce. I said to have a sniff and have never seen it back.
No, that's it.
It's going in my bank.
So what do? You put it...
You crack open this this puff pastry sort of thing, what we call as pani puri.
They're like a dumpling, but crisp.
Yeah.
Except that when you throw them to Jules, she catches them in her hands and pounds them to dust.
And then he'll moan about the carpet after.
Jules, you caught that pani puri, although it cracked, but you didn't let it go. Look at the girls who are winning the golds all of a sudden. Mm. Hey, girls power, go girls.
I never ever let anything go that any food was.
I know.
You know.
Once if you aim it, you won't let any go. And you
never
catch
know
it.
Where your next meal is coming from.
Exactly.
That's exactly. What I say. Paul's tucking in. So your Chucka Chucka beer.
Yeah.
You found on the market, as I remember, there wasn't anything like this to have with your lovely, delicate spices. So tell us about that.
Well, other than from the Carrara Foods, which is still ongoing, and during the Chucka Chucka, it was again, Paul, you said that I'm a bit more innovative and creative and all that thing. I tell you the real story. And please allow me to speak my mind for a couple of minutes, because that exactly was the way how things all developed during that. We all have gone through with the COVID and the lockdown and all that shebang for a couple of years, and the life has gone upside down and changed around. People, they have lost their businesses and some they have created. And listen to my story. With my good friend of John Hippersley, we used to go to France and Belgium very often.
He's not the ghost hunter, is he?
Tell
listeners who, because Wayne's listening, he's up north, you know, somewhere. He's up north, I'm not quite sure where. Lancashire or somewhere. But tell us about the ghost hunter. So in Canterbury, he takes visitors to haunted places.
Talking about the John Hippersley's ghost tours in Canterbury, or rather, I'll say a famous John Hippersley in Canterbury. He's honestly very famous. He's appeared in BBC and lots of different channels, and I believe he has spoken to Paul and to Jules as well.
Yes.
So, as I said, I'm quite right in making him. He's a famous fellow, and good for him. He's a good friend and an ex-civil servant as well. On one fine day, that was almost about 2-3 years ago, he took me, he drove this time, and we used to say, okay, if you're driving, then I'm drinking. If I'm drinking, then so it was more like a easy peasy sort of drink and drive and sort of shares and have a good time.
Is this in France, yeah?
This is in France.
Well, it's fine, because you go to Le Relay, and all the truckers sit there and have 2 litres of wine and then stagger to their trucks and drive.
Yeah. And
kind of normal.
And then it makes enormous job for my fellow colleagues to come and stop them and investigate, but that's a different story.
He's helping himself over there.
Oh, he's hooked now.
Talk amongst yourselves.
What sauce are you adding, Paul Andrews?
Oh, the mint sauce.
Now he's hooked.
Yeah, it's not really mint sauce, though, is it? It's tamarind
and
mint. But the mint's beautiful. It's coming through, isn't it?
But Paul, keep some room. I've got some dinner for you. I've got cumin rice and chicken curry as well. And some chickpea curries as well.
Oh, wow.
This bloke's a star, isn't he?
I know. I think this is why I started Scoff and Quaff, of course, because I realised that, you know, the best thing about radio is just eating when you have guests on that bring food.
Absolutely.
That's the
well, I don't know how you have not... I know you've been talking back and forth, but somehow that we didn't find time. So here I am, pleasure, and it's been giving for you... It was your birthday treat, Paul.
So you were in France with John.
So from France, obviously, we went to Bruges on that time, and we were in one of the brewery, and we ordered, and next to the brewery, there was some group of people sitting there from different countries, from Italy, France, Belgium, English, John Hippersley again, and myself. So they were all saying, sort of beer or cheers in their own language. So the French fellow say, "Oh, santé," and Italian say "chin chin," and the Belgian fellow say "skol," and there comes the John Hippersley time. He says, "Oh, cheers!" I said, "Now the last time is wrong." I just proudly, all of a sudden, came in my mind. I said, "Chuko chuko chuko chuko" means simply you pick and raise your glass, and that was it. So that was before even thinking that at one given time I may dive into creating my own beer. It was only the name was being produced then, about 3 years back. And believe me or not, till that time I had no clue in even trying my spices into beverage or to brew and then to cup up. So from that end comes the lockdown, and in lockdown many people, they produce lots of babies, they did extraordinary work and disappointing work, depression, healthy. So all the country, or rather the whole world, has gone into a different phase of activities, whether they liked it or not, but they got used to it and just carry on living. And so in my personal case, I created this Chuko Chuko beer. It was a simple combination which I dreamt overnight that having known the few lovely people like Jules and Paul, you know, and many other, of course, John Hippersley too, I thought spices and beer, those two things I said. But then the deep down, if I do my spices, I need to take it to Belgium and to try the water very, very hard. I thought that will be the real test of me. And believe me now, it is almost like not even a year then that I've been tried out with different breweries here in Kent, and they've been very, very helpful to me. And on 11th of October, 11th of November last year, we did this brewery, which you can see the bottle here in Paul's and Jules' studio here at Channel Radio, is where we actually brew the beer, and we named it Chuko Chuko. We tasted it. We took it on the same day to Blue Water, where it was launching by the many people who were produced in Kent members. I was shortlisted from that time, but now I sell Blue from Blue Water as well through the pop-ups here. So again, coming back to the stories, so the beer was produced, bottled, labeled, everything, and now I've got the patent. I've registered this patent, which is Chuko Chuko here. Now I give you another interesting story about Chuko Chuko. When I said beer and Belgium, that was my dream. So within not even a year time, last month, 13th of July, I was in Belgium, in a small place called Passendale, close to Bruges. And we have brewed that, and now that beer is ready to be launched on next 15th of September in Bruges.
Wow.
Next to Passendale.
So you are brewing in Belgium, which is famous for beer.
Because they have tested my beer, I was sent to the Tavola, one of the biggest food
Tavola,
and drink.
Yeah.
You remember, Jules?
Yeah, huge. Been,
yeah, it was massive, massive food and drink show, and people that liked it. And I fortunately met the deputy governor, Jean, I forgot if I misspelled the name, sorry about that. But then I also met the British ambassador, Martin Stunning, and quite a few dignitaries on that show. And then it was just going on and on and on. And I feel very, very thrilled. And with the help and support of what Paul and Jules are promoting at the back of it, here comes Chuko Chuko. Cheers.
Excellent. And because it is quite difficult when you have an Indian meal, you know, there's very few wines that really go. My new husband likes to drink wine with an Indian, and he'll often have a red. But a beer is quite an exceptional taste, your one.
Exactly.
Right. All right, I need to ask you some questions here, Paul. I'll let you tell your story because it's a fantastic story.
Yeah, you let him tell the story so you could carry on eating.
So I could carry on eating.
I know your wily way.
And now I've finished, and now I'm going to carry on with some interview.
Now you've heard there's some rice and proper meal later.
Yeah, no, but what I want to ask, you know, I love the story of how Chukka Chukka first came to you as an idea.
Sure.
Incredibly innovative. What I want to know is what the process was of experimenting with the spices in the beer. I mean, how many times did you put stuff in it and go, oh my God, that's awful?
Shall we open one? Have we got any vessels to drink?
Oh, typical Jules, let's get the drink out.
Yeah, I was a bit concerned. Of course, 1352.
Of course, if you can hear the crack open of the... I'll do it.
I can video you. Because Mark and I, you know, could have a little snifter. We won't be over the limit if we share.
I've got a taster, the small glasses and very short glasses. That's your beer open.
Beautiful.
Chuko.
So,
beautiful.
So, Paul,
Mark's face is lit up. Yes.
So when you were, I'm still fascinated by this process.
Yeah.
When you were, you've got this idea for Chukka Chukka and a spicy beer.
Yeah.
Now, presumably, you've had to experiment. You've had to make some beer and add some spice to it.
Now,
have we got receptacles to drink that with?
Yes, I've got the small short glasses.
I'm getting a bit edgy about this.
Yeah, you can see, look, she's dribbling.
Well, Mark as well, you know, it's like hot work in the studio, isn't it, Mark?
There you go, I've got
Mark,
the short glasses.
Can you be mother, Mark?
Now, I tell you the process, obviously, and I tell you the real story and correctly because there's nothing I can hide from you, otherwise, you know, it won't be fair on saying pokey stories on your studio. I did not experiment, and all I knew that how many liters we were supposed to produce. So before that, it was like all the spices were going in my mind.
Right.
And you know, there are hundreds and thousands. So I picked few. I won't say how many, but I can say
few. Is it a secret recipe?
That exactly is the secret recipe. If you give me, or if you sell me at least to begin with one country, we are talking quite a few hundred millions pounds or dollars or euros or anything.
Right.
So the combination of the spices were the magic touch. That's all I have. And believe me, I did not experiment making that particular brew. So I knew I picked a few spices. I combined it in the right proportion. And for the first time...
Cheers, Mark. Oh, Mark's on his second.
Oh, dear.
He's well ahead of you, mate.
You know, I hope he's not doing my accounts tonight.
What did you say? Cheers.
I hope he is doing my accounts. Yeah,
you said cheers.
I said chucka chucka.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So that proportion was not calculated, but it was well calculated and thoughtful in my mind.
Right. So what you're telling me is you knew up front what spice you wanted to put in there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that precisely, the combination or the certain spices were there in my mind. And once if I knew that we were about to produce, say, like 100, 200, 1,000 bottles or 1,000 liters of tank, so I just added the proportion of those spices and that went in the brew.
Right.
Especially I used, as I mentioned, I brewed it here in Kent and I used a couple of local breweries at the Brockdale in McNaid as well, Boutilliers. And the big help and support was the big working together with the Ramsgate Brewery. Gads, Eddie Gads is a good friend of ours.
Right.
And quite a few years we used to do the Canterbury Food and Drink, which I'm still doing it this year again at September end. Mm-hmm. He was next to us with his beer and the curries. And I don't know what happened. Curry and the beer became quite popular in this country.
Yep.
So with Eddie Gads, I used his brewery and we produced 2,500 liters of tank, which got me almost about 4,500 this bottles.
Right, okay.
But again, the proportion, what the answer
so
to
that,
your question.
That would be Jules' breakfast sorted.
Yes, yes. So that's how I sort of worked out and I sort of got combination right in what proportion and how much. So that's the same experiment now I'm taking further. And of course, from Belgium, I've now been invited to work in another brewery in Frankfurt in Germany. Wow. I am in contact with my ex-diplomats in Malaysia, based covering that region. And my ultimate dream is also to introduce these Choco Choco beer in Australia, the Aussie lands. They love
it. When are you going to Australia?
I'll take you.
Because I have to go. Seriously, don't tell Paul Andrews, because he gets a bit uppity if I have too many holidays.
Zip.com.
But, and I've had quite a lot this year.
Sure.
I have to go. My cousin's daughter is getting married in October. I could take a little crate over for you.
Oh, why not? This morning, one of my niece flew to North Carolina and Florida, so some of the bottles they are going there. And I'll tell you another story of this beer from that precisely 5th of January. The KMTV, they approached me and they filmed it at the Ramsgate Brewery, and that link, when they put it, it gone viral, and I got live contacts from Los Angeles to San Francisco and Vancouver and so on. So it's, the word is going around quite
absolutely
popular.
I mean, Paul, you've done an absolutely fabulous job.
Wow.
I adore stories like this where people get inspiration in the most unlikely places.
Thank you with
you and Hippersley on tour as normal. And you have this idea and you bring it to fruition, and that's one of the things, one of the many things I admire about you, and there's a lot to admire about you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because Paul, I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying, Paul is a Sikh, and part of the Sikh tradition is to be very involved in the community.
Absolutely.
And to do things for people, and he does a huge amount for not just the Sikh community, but the whole community of Canterbury.
He try best, yeah.
But one of the things I do like about Paul is when he has an idea, he makes it happen.
Oh.
Yeah. Because we've got to join the newsroom in a minute. We might, after we talk to Mark, we might just talk about this as well. Because, of course, you've got your food van as well.
Yes.
Yeah, which we haven't even mentioned yet.
No, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that later. But for the moment, Paul, it's a fantastic story. Your food, which I know very well, is delicious.
Thank you so much.
I don't drink, so I haven't drunk the beer.
Don't we, Mark?
So let's have a report on the beer then, very quickly.
Right, okay. So, Mark, you've had quite a lot, I noticed.
I think she's just dropped you in it there.
Yeah. Well, run us through, because it's very, very different taste, isn't it?
Yeah,
do you need a bit more just to refresh you?
No, I'm fine. I really like craft beer. I've developed a taste for it probably over the last 5 or 6 years. And what I like so I like beer, but I don't like to drink loads and loads of it.
Sure.
I like to enjoy the taste.
Exactly.
And what's really good is it's got a very distinctive taste.
Mm.
I like to taste the beer, and I like the taste to it. And this is great, because I also like spicy food. Not hot spicy, but
flavoured.
Absolutely.
There's a note in this that I'm getting, and I'm not quite sure what it is. But we're going over to the news now. So while the news is on, we can discuss the note, and then we'll be back after the news.
We look forward to hear more.
Give us a quick shout out for your website so that people can start looking, or your Facebook page, or wherever people can come and have a look at this.
They come direct to me, Paul Barbara or CarraraFoods.com, or I do the Canterbury Curry Clubs and you van it. If you know me, Carrara, just Google me, and if not, come to Jules or Paul.
There's a link on the radio website as well. Yeah. So do check that out. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mark Telford. We'll probably talk to Paul Barbara some more about his food van as well. And we'll try and scrape Jules off the floor.
Yeah. Thank you.
Here we go.
Press the button.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio News Update.
A 9-year-old girl shot dead in Liverpool has been named by Merseyside Police as Olivia Corbell. Detectives have launched a murder investigation, and on Tuesday morning, a huge police presence remained at the scene, where residents described the incident as devastating. Two other people are in hospital with gunshot wounds after officers attended a house in Kingsheath Avenue in Knotty Ash last night. Deaths that occurred in England during periods of very hot weather in July were higher on average than on other days in the month, according